Welcome back to the Guide to Wholeness podcast, and I am your host, Emily Grace. In this episode, I interview Dinara Muck, and she is the host of the Feel Better, Be Better podcast, who I actually also interviewed on her podcast as well, so be sure to check that out. She is also a certified women's health coach, TEDx speaker, helping women restore hormonal balance naturally through nourishment and lifestyle changes, reconnect with their menstrual cycles so they can look great and feel great. She has helped dozens of women to gain control over their health, step out of overwhelm, and live healthier lives. You can find the link to her podcast in the show notes. She has a quiz on what hormones are causing your symptoms, so you can find out your hormone imbalance. And you can schedule a free health consultation with Dinara. There's a link to her Calendly in the show notes as well as her Instagram and TikTok links and her TED Talk, which I loved and I highly, highly recommend you check it out. All right, let's dive into today's episode. So welcome to the podcast, Dinara. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you here too and to chat with you. And I had a look at your TED Talk, which was so amazing, which was really all about your harnessing your menstrual cycle as your superpower, which we are all about here. And you shared some incredible stats that I had never heard that I wanted to share with my listener here to like kick us off and talk about the importance of embracing your cycle. But you shared that 30% of women have taken time off due to their period, but this was done by YouGov, and 75% of people with autoimmune disease are women. And 85% of women suffer from hormonal imbalances. Is that right?
Yeah. And also most of the 75 to 80% of migraine sufferers, of everybody that has headaches, is actually also primarily a female thing, which is why it's so connected to our hormones and to our cycles, because there's the very cyclical many headaches, many hormones. Some of them are, some of them aren't, but they primarily happen among women.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, these numbers don't lie. And so I would love, before we dive in and talk about your work in this area, what brought you to women's hormone health and how did you become a coach in this way?
Yeah, I love that question. And I think, as with most people that are stumbling on wellness, essentially always comes because from our own personal journey. So for me, it actually started probably in my sort of early 20s, where I used to have very painful periods, but so did everybody else in my family. So I never really thought it was a big deal. I just kind of thought that this was a normal thing. So I never really addressed it. And then at the same time, I sort of had very, just a really terrible relationship with my body. And every single thing I was eating or exercising was specifically geared towards weight loss. And I kind of lived that way for many years. And then it was years after I was living in London, I remember being on the tube and just going back home after work, and it was long commute. I was exhausted. I was stressed out, and I just had this incredible pain for my stomach. And I felt like I just didn't like my body. And it's just all of those things were coming trembling. And I remember just sitting on the tube and just starting to cry, and was like, something's gotta be done. So I actually ended up going to the doctors, and they've taken some tests, but they ended up losing them. At the same time, COVID began. So it was just, I'm like, there's got to be a better answer. And then it was through having a conversation with this woman who was kind of mentioning in passing, like, it could be menstrual cycle, could be your hormones. Mm-hmm. And I sort of thought that there is no way, because first of all, I don't want to talk about my period or menstrual cycle, because it's just weird. We don't talk about these things, and kind of like let it go. But something on the back of my mind lingered. And then I'm like, okay, let me look into this whole menstrual cycle deal. And then I came across this concept of understanding your cycle, how your menstrual cycle is so much more than just your period, and how actually, depending how you eat and move, really does change. That's how you sort of bring the hormones back into balance. And I've put it into work to a T. And for the first time in, I think, 15 years, my period arrived without pain. And then my weight sort of, it kind of, I don't want to say it's melted off, but I do think a lot of the things that I've struggled with was inflammation, and that came off. And then a lot of symptoms started to improve, and my energy went back, and I just got happier. The libido got up, and it was just all these things. And I was like, this is the secret to the universe. How come nobody talking about it? And then that's kind of what ended up sending me into down this pathway of talking to women. And the more I spoke to women about menstrual cycles, like, did you know that doing this and this will help? And I'm sure we'll dive into it. People are like, no, I've never heard of that. And that's when I've realized that there's just such a big gap between women and how disconnected we are from our bodies, and just how much misinformation there is when it comes to how to take care of our bodies. And that's when I decided to dedicate myself. And then I was invited to do a TED talk. I've spoke at various organizations, things like places like Microsoft, WeWork. I've done women's health educational sessions, and I've started taking on clients. And then it's kind of like one thing after another. And now it became a thing. I love
it. So beautiful. Yeah. Like, thank you for sharing your journey, because I think that's really helpful to see that you didn't have it all figured out, and it was mm-hmm. in healing yourself that you were able to step into your purpose this way and normalize these conversations around the menstrual cycle, which I love that you're talking about doing talks at Microsoft and WeWork, and just like bringing this conversation into the workspace. And we'll talk about that later too, but yeah. I'd love to hear from you. You know, you talk about the difference between men's cycles and women's cycles, and can you share a bit about that so my listener can understand how, you know, men are on a 24-hour cycle while women's a 30-day cycle?
Yeah. So as far as like as humans in general, we're very rhythmical. We have a rhythm. We wake up when the sun comes down. We go back to bed when the sun goes out. And we sort of have this internal rhythms in us. As women, we actually have this whole other rhythm that kicks in around the time of puberty, and it takes us all the way through to menopause. And that rhythm has a name. It's called the infradian rhythm, but it's also essentially is the rhythm of your menstrual cycle. And this kind of second 28-ish day clock kicks in at puberty when your period begins, and then it's that's sort of the circulation of hormones as happens on this schedule. And I'll refer to it as a 28-day cycle, but any periods, menstrual cycles length anywhere between 25 and 35 days is considered normal. So if you're like, mine is not 28 days, don't worry, it's normal, as long as it's sort of within 25 to 36 days range. So then this infradian rhythm, and throughout the sort of menstrual cycle, as women, we change from one week to the next. We're quite literally not the same hormonally speaking. Our appetite changes, and you'd know that because sometimes prior to your period, you're ready to eat all the pantry and finish all the cookies. And then after your period, you sort of very excited to start a new exercise regime and just eat salad. So it's like this sort of fluctuation in appetite is actually very hormonally, it's related to our hormones. Our energy changes, the way that we socialize, the way that we, the symptoms that we feel, how we react to stressors, our sleep, all of that changes throughout those 28 days. So we're quite literally not the same from one day to the next. And as women, we have sort of our internal seasons. And I like to look at our 28-day cycle as our four seasons. We also have our inner winter, when we kind of want to be a bit quieter, more at home, and that's your period. After your period, you go into the next phase, which is called follicular phase, but I call it inner spring. And then you go into ovulatory phase, which is our inner summer. And it's about 2 weeks away from your period, where you feel very alive, and you're just out there, you're very social, you usually feel pretty amazing. And then after ovulation, you go into your inner fall, which is the luteal phase, is the official name for it. And then as your hormones go through luteal phase, you get to your period, and that sort of completes the cycle. And this repeats in us over and over again. And our body replenishes, restores, our hormones do its job over the course of this schedule. So when we talk about these rhythms, men also have a rhythm of hormonal fluctuations, and their hormones also fluctuate, but they fluctuate on a different schedule. And as you already mentioned, that it's 24-hour schedule. So it's more of a, we sort of fluctuate on a schedule of a moon, I guess, and men fluctuate more, their hormones fluctuate on a schedule of a sun. So within 24 hours, their hormones are slightly different. With us, we have our sex hormones, things like progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. For men, it's testosterone, cortisol, some estrogen. So their hormones fluctuate and do the same thing. They come up and come down over the course of 24 hours. So for men, their time for sort of restoration, where their hormones get sort of low and get rebuilt, if for us, that's our period, for men, that happens overnight. And then as men wake up, they experience their inner spring, usually from about 6 a.m. to about 11, 1 p.m., and then after that, sort of the, this is when we look at the corporate clock, is when a lot of important meetings tend to happen, is in the morning. And then from about 1 to 5 is kind of like their inner summer. They get a bit more social, which is when a lot of happy hours are scheduled. And then from about 7 onwards is their inner fall, where they kind of want to just relax, pull back and chill out. And then they do this process over again. So women don't operate on the same way. However, we have been fitting into this 24-hour schedule for as long as we can remember, expecting women to have the same performance, have the same appetite, have the same exercise regime, essentially lead the same days, day in and day out, but it's just simply not optimized for our biology, which is why a lot of the stats that you mentioned at the beginning of our chat happens for largely for that reason, is because we're not supporting our bodies properly.
That's so messed up when you really see it that way, where it's like, oh, we're operating in a way that's so backwards to how we naturally operate. And we have been making ourselves fit in that way. But it seems like now women are learning more about their cycle. And I love to hear about cycle syncing. And what does that look like?
Yeah. So cycle syncing is essentially when you essentially sync your lifestyle with your menstrual cycle. And given the brief introduction of the winter, summer, winter, spring, summer, fall sort of seasons that we go through. But basically, your winter is your menstrual phase, which is your period. At that time, your hormones are at an all-time low because you quite literally just shed it, all of the uterine lining, and it got initiated by dropping all of your hormones. And then as you go into your follicular phase or into your spring phase, your hormones slowly begin to rise. And during ovulation, this is when some of your hormones peak, which initiates ovulation. And then after ovulation, some of your other hormones begins to produce and sort of take you out, continue build your uterine lining until the hormones drop again before your period. So this, as you go through this 4 phases, your hormones ebb and flow. They kind of go up and down different. There is different sort of amount of it that gets produced from variety of glands at different times. So cycle syncing essentially means just eating in the way that supports those hormonal fluctuations in a way that supports them properly. Because there's certain foods and certain exercise that will support production of certain hormones, and certain foods and exercise that will help your body to exit those hormones. Because with hormones in our body, when we produce them, and our ovaries produce large amount of estrogen and some testosterone and all of those hormones, our body has to use them and then it has to lose them. So when we eating in a particular way at a particular time of your cycle, we helping your body to do that process efficiently, not creating the sort of excess of hormones in your body and creating those very familiar symptoms of PMS and other hormonal imbalances. So cycle syncing is essentially adapting your movement, nutrition, and how you lead your lifestyle with the phases of your cycle.
Okay, that is very helpful to see what, you know, your lifestyle changes that you could make, that it sounds like it's like replenishing and supporting the natural processes that we go through in this cycle. And from what you're saying, is it true that our period, if it's painful, then that means that something is off within? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so painful periods healthy periods are not painful. So it's not this narrative that we've been sort of taught and given, and so many of us live through, the fact that the painful zip period basically does two things. Number one, it just makes us never question it. And we never really, we're like, okay, my period's coming. It's painful, because this is, in my case, in my family, everybody had it. So I thought it was a hereditary thing, when it's really, really not. And two, it kind of keeps us from really understanding our bodies and really questioning the symptoms. And painful period is a symptom of, it does mean something is off. However, why is it so common? Well, the reason, one of the main reasons, is because we're not living in the way that we're not living in sync with our cycle. We're not really supporting our body nutritionally and lifestyle wise, in the standpoint that actually that keeps us healthy. And we typically, the kind of like the physiological, I'm trying not to get too terminology too deep so that way people can understand, but when your uterine lining sheds, it's that shedding of it that tends to produce this lipids that's called prostaglandins. And it's kind of like if you had a cut on your hand, and if you see the blood, and as you begin to heal it, that's basically what prostaglandins do. As your uterine lining sheds, sort of the prostaglandins, they kind of heal it. And there's three different types of them, and two out of those three are anti-inflammatory. But one of those types is inflammatory. And the ones that's, so when we look at it that way, our body has twice the chance to have anti-inflammatory prostaglandins, therefore not having painful periods. Yet the inflammatory kind is the one that tends to really create a lot of pain. So in order to prevent that from happening, the reason that it's happened is because of lifestyle, but to prevent it is to have food that is more nutritionally dense, more fruits, more vegetables, more legumes, more good sources of meat. But yet most of our diets today is dominated in sugars, in carbohydrates, sweets and wine and chocolate, but also a big part of it is stress. And stress also creates massive amount of inflammation in our body that tends to create inflammation, painful periods. And for women, it's sometimes causes this stubborn belly fat that regardless what you do, it's not really bunging. So like all of those factors contribute to you having a painful period.
Okay, that is very helpful. Like the diet piece and the stress management piece. So basically if we're more stressed, we're more likely to have a painful period, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, we're more likely to have painful period or delayed period. And this is something that we've seen through COVID. Many women were experiencing their periods would either arrive too late or they would just miss the cycles, just because the hormones that produce when we stress, they quite literally hijack our ovulation hormones that doesn't allow the body complete its process. So, and it's, yeah, it delays periods and it's also makes them more painful and more symptomatic.
Wow. Okay. So that's really helpful to know. That's just another imperative to work on our mental health and our stress management. And I'd love to know what you think about like the role that our thoughts play when it comes to healing in this way.
Yeah, well, I think it's everything. Well, one of the things is if you kind of when you, if you want to heal yourself, you have to be able to, you have to believe in the fact that you can heal yourself first. Because if you don't believe, if you're going to trying to heal yourself being like, yeah, this is gimmicky, this is not going to work, this is short term, I'm just going to sort of try it and see what happens, then the outcome of that will be essentially that you'll try what happens, you're not going to give it, you're not going to really give your full attention to it, it's not, you're not going to take it as seriously. So the first step in wanting to heal and actually trying to achieve that balance is this belief that your body can heal. So that has a massive part in it. And sort of that's the belief part. And then the thoughts part is whatever we think is usually manifests in our results. Because if we think a particular thought, it will create a specific emotion in our body. It'll create certain reaction. And then based on those emotions and based on those feelings that it creates, then from there, we kind of, it causes us to do particular, causes us, it depends what we do based on the feelings that we feel. And of course, what we do is ultimately creates our results. So if we go into something being like, let's say your goal is a weight loss, and but you want to do it in a healthy way, more of a weight loss as a byproduct of a healthy body rather than just going on a very strict diet. So just accept that I'm going to heal my body, and I'm going to support my body from coming from this loving attitude. And then maybe, and that sort of those sort of thoughts will make you more likely to eat foods that are more anti-inflammatory, have more hydration, implement habits, maybe manage your stress, because you're coming from a place of, I love my body. This is so important. And my body is a temple, whatever the thoughts that, whatever sentences that resonate with you. And then you sort of, you build your body up to that point, rather when, as opposed to when women go into something specifically for weight loss reasons, and they just go for restrictions because they come from a place, I just really hate my body, and this is just stuff, I'm just going to try this, I don't know, whichever restrictive diets, and put their body in the further stress, then it's naturally, once they're gonna, as they progress through it, it just doesn't create the same results. So what we really think shows up in our results. So the more sort of hopeful, the more I guess uplifting sort of the goals that we come into, the more likely we get results that are beneficial.
Yeah. And I think that totally makes sense, because like you said, if it's a byproduct of your healthy living, then you're not thinking, okay, I need to lose this, or I need to have this weight number to feel okay now. And it's more of like a negative, resistance to the change. And yes. I'm a full believer in that as well. Like you said, your thoughts becomes your feelings, and then it's hard to heal yourself when you don't love yourself. And that goes to my next question of, how does connecting with one's cycle, how can it help us women be more compassionate and cultivate self-love in this way?
Yeah. You know, when I first started to work with menstrual cycle, both with myself, and I see this in my clients, but I actually was able to see it better through my clients. And then I was able to reflect as to what happened with me is, the reason that we sort of start to work on menstrual cycle is because we want to bring our hormones back into balance. We want to feel a little bit better and kind of go in there with that intention to understand, to reconnect with our bodies. And as we really get deeper into it, and as we understand how, as women, we change from one week to the next. Because I think some women out there can absolutely identify with the fact that for half of the month, you might feel amazing, on top of the world, you out there, you meeting people. And then the second half, you just get very moody, very irritable, bloated. Maybe you get in the fights with your partner for no particular reason. And there's no woman that likes being that way, but it's almost like something takes over us, which I used to feel like I'm just a little bit crazy. And I'm like, I'm just crazy like that. When in reality, none of us is actually crazy, but it's actually directed through the hormones and just what's happening on the back end, the sort of the systems that set off in our body and the things that create this discomfort in our bodies that then shows up in life. So part of the thing working with the menstrual cycle is just becoming aware that actually what's happening with you, you're not crazy. You're not the only one like this. It's actually a very common, it's actually a very physiological process of what's going on with your body. So as you begin to sync with your phases and change maybe nutrition and maybe movement, like for example, I get women to, there's part of your cycle in the first half of your cycle where you're more active. So it's better to do things like cardio exercises and be out there. I kind of called the first half of your cycle this follicular and ovulation time, kind of like the Beyonce of your hormones. And it's very like, I'm out there, I want to take over the world and I feel great. And sort of the second half of it, I think about more like Kristen Stewart, because she's a bit quieter. And these are very two different personalities. And it's like, but this is exactly what your body goes through. And once you get deeper and really understand that this is what's happening in your body, you become so much more compassionate with yourself. And you're like, oh, it's just like your beautiful body, you're just literally doing its processes and this is what's happening. But then I make all of these conclusions that I'm crazy. So it kind of allows you to really ground into your body and just be like, and just kind of have this piece of self-love and just self-appreciation, self-compassion. And I started to notice this in my clients when they're like, I've canceled my plans over the course of the weekend because of my period. And it just felt so empowering. And I just feel so wonderful that I prioritized myself. And when we do these little subtle things for ourselves, there's something happens when our brain registers this, like, oh my gosh, I'm prioritizing me. And then we make it normal. And then we bring it into other conversations with other women, showing, being that example. And it just grows this movement, but it does come with you, and funny enough, with understanding your menstrual cycle.
Wow, that's amazing. And I love that, from understanding yourself and knowing the different phases that you can really honor yourself and the phase that you're in, and make decisions that honor that phase. And, you know, I think back to my own experience of trying to, you know, push myself to be so like social, maybe on the first day of my cycle. And, and now, you know, I've really tried, like you said, to do, you know, take that day off and do something very low key. And it really does help you go inwards and connect with your intuition. And I know you talk about this in your TED talk that, you know, back in history, people used to view women that have their periods as being seers and being very psychic. And so it is a time where we can tap into those superpowers and listen to that inner voice as well. And I would love to know what you think about the hormonal health musts. Like, what do all women need to know or have for, you know, healthy hormones?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I would like for all women to understand is that we have so much more control over our health than we often made to believe. And we often go to the doctors, and then we naturally get prescribed medications. Specifically in America, where a big pharma drives so many decisions and so many medical stuff. And it's similar in Canada, which is where I'm from. So it's just a very, this approach of like, disease fixing, as in like we need to fix something, when rather I would encourage women, if you just to understand that there is so much power in your, in the natural solutions and your body's natural healing, because your body really truly wants to be healthy. And also understanding that your entire body is connected. The way that your periods is very much, how painful your periods are, is very closely linked to your gut, which is why so many women experience things like nausea. Maybe some women go as far as vomiting during their periods, and or at the beginning prior to that, or experiencing bloating prior to it. It just shows the massive connection between your gut, your ovaries, your stress system, your quite literally your mindset, your mental health, like everything in your body is connected. And it's once you start small, and once you start implementing small little changes, it will echo everywhere else. And it just kind of shows that connectivity. So for it's kind of to give a bit more practical stuff is, I think we really sometimes can underestimate how massive the healthy diet, healthy anti-inflammatory balanced meals can do for us, because a lot of messages that we tend to get is either around restriction, or things like take out dairy, take out gluten, take out this, take out that. So it's just, it leaves us in this confusion of taking everything out, then what are we left with? What are we left with to eat? And just kind of going back to your body and actually testing it on yourself. If somebody says quit gluten because it'll, like, I don't know, solve all of your problems, and then you quit gluten and literally nothing happens, then maybe this doesn't work for your body. So just remembering that we also individual, and just, and starting with sort of the basics of hydration, the basics of eating fruits and vegetables, good source of protein and complex carbohydrates with every single meal, going for walks. The exercise doesn't have to be this intense gym exercise, but getting some movement, because sedentary lifestyle is just so damaging to our bodies, and just making this simple shift, but also like listening to your body for feedback. How is it? How is it reacting? Is it really sort of giving you that feedback? And one of the most beautiful ways of doing that is tracking your menstrual cycle and kind of reconnecting with your body and just understanding, how does my appetite change? How do I change depending where I'm at in my cycle? And this is how you will slowly begin to understand yourself, learn to trust your body, and just truly reconnect with yourself, and like really have that understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, it's from what you're sharing, it's like you're building a relationship with your body, getting to know yourself, getting to accept yourself and all the emotions that we have as women and on the spectrum, and not calling it crazy, and just being that this is part of our cycle. And I'll just share a bit about my journey. When I was on a healing path, I remember this was, must have been 2018, or even before that, I think, but I came off of hormonal birth control because I just had this sense like, what's in the way of me really honoring myself, getting to know myself. And I found that my personality really changed when I came off of that. And it was always just like a steady baseline, if that makes sense. And then I really didn't feel like the spectrum of all the emotions. And it just was like a huge wow moment for me of like, you know, I was just doing this thing because I was prescribed it. Like you share, that's really just the culture in the States and in Canada too. But really just giving myself the opportunity to see like, no, there are these different cycles. And I think in society, it's hard for women to do that for ourselves because we're, like you were saying in the beginning of this conversation, trying to fit into this patriarchal, like masculine corporate workday mode that our bodies are just not about. And I would love to know from you, how does perfectionism show up in this way in health?
Yeah. So for all of us perfectionists, and I'm kind of saying this because I'm a bit recovering, I think sometimes when we begin on a healing journey, we kind of want to make things to be perfect. And sometimes that means that we like go either 100% or it's just not worth it kind of thing. So it's like, it has to be this sort of perfect achievement of this has to happen. And this is, and I see this a little bit with like cycle syncing. And if maybe this is the first time that you hear about cycle syncing, it will pique your interest because it is just such an obvious thing to connect with yourself. But then some people begin to use it in a way that's so perfectionistic that it's like, well, if I'm not doing this at this particular time, if I'm not doing that, then why even try? And kind of, as I alluded to it a bit earlier, is just the matter of like, maybe it is just adding one vegetable. Maybe it is just, and just finding that what I like to call minimum baseline, finding something that is so little that you can start with that is so little, but something that you can absolutely accomplish. Maybe instead of following, like having every single meal that's vegetable with exceptional sources of I don't know, protein, maybe your goal is to have one vegetable every day and maybe one balanced meal like once a day, rather than every single meal has to be this idealistic thing. So I think for perfectionist, especially, we kind of, it's not that we're perfect, we just think that we can be perfect. So we go for this fantasy land, which obviously never reaches, but actually just kind of allowing the fact that recognizing in yourself, okay, like things are just not meant to be perfect. And I'm going to start this with the minimum thing that I can do and implement it and see how my body responds to it. And just being very gentle and very compassionate with yourself when things maybe not going as fast as you want them to go because they're not meant to be. Because I think what we tend to do, if it's not perfect, then we don't do it. And when we don't do it, we're really not making any progress at all. So it's, we heard this before, progress over perfection, but especially with perfectionists, when you even start something, start it knowing that you only going to do tiniest little bit of thing. So that way you're still accomplishing something, you're still getting that kind of like fix of like, okay, I'm doing something, but also not setting yourself up to 100 or equating it to failure if for any reasons you didn't achieve that. So I just see so many women that ended up getting into this perfectionistic state, and they actually begin to use cycle syncing, begin to use healthy eating just against themselves rather than using it for them.
Oh yeah, I can totally relate to that and totally see how, you know, you learn about cycle syncing and then it's like, okay, I have to make sure I do all these things. And yeah, and you get stuck if you can't do it. And then it's just like, oh, that's overwhelming, like might as well not do it. So it's really helpful to hear how that mindset can show up in health and how it really is just about progress and giving your body time to adapt, you know, and not expecting an instant change as well. And I think that's the whole piece about like natural healing, holistic healing. It's like, it's not a one and done kind of approach, or you do A, it equals B, right?
And also finding a different measure of success, because I think for some people, I think we're just so used to associating health with weight loss, and then we go to that number on the scale, and if it's not a particular number, then it's not good. What if like your sleep got in? What if for the first time ever you slept through the night? What if you had a vegetable that you've never tried before? What if you had like two sort of different like serving of vegetables? How did your energy feel? Like, it's just this small little wins that I think, unless we have this, and especially with perfectionists, we set the goal, and unless we get there, that means we haven't really succeeded. When actually, right, there's this like measures of success that can be so much smaller, and just noticing even how you think about food, and just like, and just celebrating yourself through it. I think we're not very often giving ourselves this sort of like words of encouragement, but if we can be like, well done you, and it'll just register with you, be like, that felt good that I told myself that. And then just keep repeating it until it becomes norm.
I love that. It's like a reflection of that healing your relationship with your true self, your inner self. And it's like, you're just celebrating the small wins. And that's what you're saying, that it's really about this progress versus perfection of, okay, I've fixed this whole thing. It's noticing the small changes that you're making, and seeing that, like honoring your cycle, for example, and canceling plans, when you're going inwards in your winter cycle. And I love that you're on a mission to really normalize talking about periods, and, you know, doing a TED talk about that is incredible, because it's like just putting it in the mainstream. And I know that you mentioned in that talk that you think it's an important thing to have this conversation in the workspace. And I would love to hear you share a bit more about why you think that is.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very important to have this in a workspace, as you mentioned. And the reason being is because there's so many different phases to women's life. And we go from puberty up until pregnancy. And then when we experience pregnancy, and then we have this postpartum that for some women can be pretty challenging time. Then after that, we transition into menopause, and menopause can start off, the perimenopause symptoms can begin as early as 35. So women go through this pretty significant changes in their bodies. And if we don't talk about it, I don't remember the number statistic exactly, but a larger number of women just decide to leave the workforce because they don't understand their bodies. Maybe they're constantly getting the hot flashes, and it just makes them feel embarrassed. Maybe they feel a bit too anxious, or other symptoms of perimenopause that can come on quite quickly. Or maybe you experience postpartum and nobody around you understands it. So when we have those, if we're really creating this diversity and inclusion and inclusive environment, we have to start with bringing in and understanding just how the female body works, and how can we, and just give us the language around it. Because of course, our managers, sometimes they're women, sometimes they understand, and sometimes they're men that don't really have the language. So we need to bring in that information, so that way women that practically make up half of the workforce are able to have those conversations that are directly affecting their productivity, how they show up, and directly affect their, how they show up at work. And when we support it, and when we have this conversation together, and when we work on something together, that's what creates that understanding among each other. And that's how we end up progressing, which is why it's so important, just for even the language alone, like understanding, why am I feeling these mood swings? Why am I feeling like crazy? So we can really kind of like ease the boundaries and really talk to ourselves as openly as obviously as you choose to. But even just having those conversations alone creates such a great conversation. And every single time I went into a companies and had it, I remember the women and both men would be like, oh my gosh, like I wish I knew this, because it would just make it so much easier to support women on my team and also my colleagues. And yeah, I think it's a big sort of opportunity that every company should bring as part of their training.
I am in total agreement with that. And like you said, it's the inclusion piece, like understanding the people that you work with and what they're going through, and so that they're not suffering in silence. And when that happens, You know, it sounds like women leave the workforce. And I think we saw a lot of that during the pandemic. And I think that's also why women really value the flexibility piece, because there are going to be times where we're not have as much energy. And and I think you talked about, you know, there's some countries that have menstrual leave. I would love to see that like normalized. And I think there are some countries that, you know, it's just accepted that women do take those first few days off, right?
Yeah, there are some countries, and there are some places, and there's actually in Asia been for quite a while, Japan, South Korea, and Australia, and now they've implemented it in Spain. Yet it's also almost comes with a bit of like, can we got to be careful with those messaging when it comes with like, does that mean that women like less capable and they less able to take it? And I think this is when in some countries, even though they have it, women sometimes be hesitant to take it because they feel like that means I'm not as productive. So there's this like quality piece, which is why one of the reasons that they tried to, in the US, they tried to talk about it in a number of companies, and that was brought up, that this is going to give sort of the message and the narrative that women are in some way unable to perform their job to the same level, which is why this conversation is so important, because women can perform, they can outperform in any phase of their cycle, and they're capable, just as capable as men, if not more so, I'm biased. But it's like, but actually giving ourselves that respect will make us stronger, not weaker. So it's like having those conversations, but also having this caveat and almost like explaining, going a little bit deeper, because sometimes this is the sort of message that, given the gender pay gap and the rest of it, this is the kind of message that can get a little bit lost in translation. So this is why having open forums and conversations like this is important, so we can really explain the reason why we're doing it.
Yeah, that is very helpful to understand. I would have never known that. And like, there's these subtleties, right? Like underneath of like the bias, the unconscious bias. Yeah. And so I think having these conversations is so helpful. And I know in the talk as well that you're really attributing having this normalization of the menstrual cycle and, you know, this part of women that are part of society is the antidote to burnout, right? Because once we can honor these cycles, then we will give ourselves that rest period. And I loved in your talk, you had like the visual of like, okay, this is the time where I'm replenishing, and then I can come out, and then I can have that energy, and then I'm going to go back. And, you know, if we're constantly trying to fit ourselves into that 24-hour cycle, like we're actually never going to catch up with men or be, you know, measured as equals, because we're at a disadvantage, right?
We feel differently. That's why one of the things that I actually want to do at some point is develop like a e-learning or a course for men in organizations that have women under their, as like, as a teams, and just actually have those conversations with men. Because in my experience, men are very interested. Even when I finished my TED talk, I had a lineup of people that came to talk to me, and most of them were men. And they were like, wow, this was so interesting. And I was like, this is interesting that not women are coming to chat with me after it. But actually, and they were all like, I wish I knew this so I can support my partner better. So we need to bring in this conversation. We're not forcing it, because there's a lot of desire for them to, there's a lot of desire from their part to want to know it. We just need to get comfortable with ourselves so we're able to communicate those things that much better.
Oh yeah, I can totally see that. And I think I've experienced just from managers that I've had that are men, that they want to understand like these issues with women and understand how they can support them better. So I love the idea of that course. And, you know, that's just so, there's definitely a gap there, I think, where men don't understand, and they don't know how they could support in the way of the workplace. And like, I think there could be so many things that would be supportive of women, of like permission giving, like, you know, around your cycle, or, oh, okay, like understanding that you're in a phase of like external, like go do a lot of meetings and things like that, and just like being understanding, because men, you know, it's pretty simple because theirs is already in the day, like they are easy to adapt, but in order for the inclusion piece, it's really like they have to be brought in, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's how we make it inclusive, definitely.
Oh, I love the work that you're doing, Dinara. This is so incredible and so needed. And where can my listener find you online?
Yeah, so I'm big on Instagram, which is Dinara, DINARA.MUKH. And I'm also on TikTok and on LinkedIn, and it's the same name, Dinara, MUKH. And if you want to watch my TED Talk, it's called Menstrual Cycle as Your Superpower. Give it a watch and see if it resonates with you. Maybe it set off some alarm bells. And if you have young daughters, share it with them as early as possible, because the sooner we know about our cycles, the better we're equipped to go through life, really.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I will link all of that in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on, Dinara, and sharing your wisdom with me and my listener.
Thank you for having me. I love this chat.
Yeah, me too. Great. Are you a high-achieving, heart-centered woman who's ready to experience more flow, more fulfillment, and more freedom in her life and career? I invite you to learn more about my program, Reclaim, which supports you in reclaiming your wholeness and your feminine essence to experience more alignment, fulfillment, and flow. And you've probably understood by now and listening to this podcast that there's a feminine aspect of yourself that wants to be nurtured, that wants to be embodied so that you can feel in balance and live life in a softer, more connected way. And to do that, you have to embody your self-worth and emotional empowerment so that you can move through the challenges that inevitably come up when you start walking towards a life that is soul aligned. And becoming embodied in your feminine helps you to anchor in a deep sense of faith throughout these challenging transitions, helps you to reclaim your boundaries and permission to say no, and to remove subconscious blocks and increase your ability to receive, which is a wound in the collective of the feminine. And a lot of this is embedded trauma in the body. And I use a somatic approach so that you can release these blocks in a safe way and start to listen to the wisdom of your heart and your body, which is always there and inviting you to start living from this space instead of from your head, which is, you know, the version of yourself that's anxious and in analysis paralysis, is from living from your headspace. So if this sounds supportive to you, I invite you to book a free 20-minute consult with me to discover what do you need to embody to get this soul aligned life that you desire, what needs to be released, what needs to be embodied. And this is complimentary, so we can see if this is a good match and a good support for you going forward. You can find the link in the show notes, talktoemily.com, to book your session today.